This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for your desktop or mobile device. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter. Visit enterpriseinspace.org for more details.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hi everyone at home and welcome. This is To The Journey. I'm your co-host Kay Shaw, and with me as always are
Suzanne Williamson and
Zachary Fruling.
So how are you guys? We didn't actually manage to get a show out last week because of our Tarkalian flu outbreak. Are you both recovered?
I'm getting there.
Well, I was actually down for the count for quite a few days, sick bay style, not Tsunkatsi style, but I'm feeling mostly better, so it's good to be back recording with you guys for the first time in a couple weeks.
Yay! So this week, we've decided to do something a little bit different. Well, it's not different for To The Journey, but it's different for us. We are going to have a go tonight at writing our own Voyager movie.
I'm a little nervous about this. I'm more of an idea man. I'm not one to get down in the weeds and the details. I'm not a great fiction writer, so I'm a little self-conscious about coming up with an idea for a Voyager movie.
I didn't realize we were actually writing this. I thought it was just throwing stuff out there. Hey, what did I want to see? But writing, now I'm scared. I'm not prepared for this.
Well, I don't think we're going to write the script. I think the plan is just to kind of write the general synopsis.
Okay.
Yeah, this is like a Voyager movie brainstorming session.
Yeah, a bit of a brainstorming session. Yeah, of course, obviously, you know, this was Shah and Tristan's forte, but we've decided that we're going to have a go, so we'll see how we get on. But before we get stuck in this week, in a few weeks' time, we're planning on doing an Ask Us Anything episode where you guys can send us in your questions. It can be anything at all. It can be about Voyager. It can be about Star Trek in general, or it can be about something completely unrelated. And we'll do our best to try and answer them all. So if you listen on for the contact info at the end of the show, you'll hear all the different ways that you can send us in your questions, and we'll look forward to reading all of those. So shall we dive in?
So I guess the big question is, what do we want to see out of this movie? I mean, is there a certain subject we want to cover? Do we want to see them get home?
Well, Voyager already got home, right? At the end of Endgame, they're home. So,
but we didn't see it.
Oh, so you're thinking you want to see the actual homecoming.
I want to see Gretchen Janeway. I want to see Phoebe Janeway. I want to see the Janeway women together. And then, possibly, Chakotay's cousin. He could be played by maybe Adam Beach. That would be a good fit.
You're away already, Suzanne. You're just there.
Suzanne, how granular do you want to go with this? Are you thinking you want to see, like, Captain Janeway's reunion with Molly, her Irish setter?
No, because then that brings in the whole Mark thing, and I'm not going there.
So Mark's out of the picture for good.
Mark's gone.
Okay, so I think we need to get our big picture focus out of the way. So, Suzanne, you want to see the Voyager homecoming. What about you, Kay? What's your sort of big picture, broad brushstroke sketch of a Voyager movie? What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Well, it would be cool to see a homecoming, but I don't think that's what I initially wanted out of a Voyager movie when I thought about it. I wanted to see something a bit more mid-series.
So just to clarify, by mid-series, you mean while Voyager is still on
yes,
the air,
yeah.
Mid-run of the actual yeah. Voyager show. See, I actually went a totally different direction when I was thinking about this. I actually had assumed the Voyager homecoming had already happened, and we didn't get to see that. My big broad brushstroke idea is I want to see Voyager getting lost in space again. I want them to go be almost
That's
like,
just
like, you know,
mean.
Like,
that is really
you,
mean.
You know, the hung, You know, there's the Hunger Games, and there's this terrible stuff that happens in the Hunger Games. Then in the sequel, Hunger Games Catching Fire, they have to go back into the Hunger Games, and that's like 10 times worse. That's what I want to see. I want to see Voyager getting stuck in the Delta Quadrant again, or something even worse, like getting thrown to another galaxy and getting stuck there, like maybe to the Andromeda Galaxy. But I want to see Voyager on its own again in a new frontier.
Wow. You're mean.
Well, I have bad ideas. Well, not bad ideas, but bad things that would happen after the homecoming. Like the time police, the temporal police show up and hold Janeway accountable for everything that she's done, especially going back in Endgame. So she gets put on trial.
So what do they do? Do they like drag her to the 29th century and flog her there?
That's what I haven't worked out. I'm like, And then does Q show up in his judge robes? I don't know.
Ooh, that's interesting.
But I mean, they need to show up because she was warned not to mess with the timeline. And she did it again.
Well, yeah, I mean, but was it her? That's the real question.
It doesn't matter. They arrested Captain Braxton, and that wasn't even him. But he still had to be held accountable for the other Braxton's actions. So why wouldn't Janeway be held to that same standard? Throughout the movie, things work out, and happy ending, blah, blah, blah. But
so does that affect where the movie, does that affect where the movie actually takes place? Does that mean the movie takes place in the 24th century, or does it take place kind of in the future, half-jokingly, in the 29th century?
It could take place anywhere. I don't know.
I guess my thinking was that the Voyager crew are at their best when they're on their own together as a family. So I like that interaction so much that I kind of want to strip away all the non-Voyager elements and put them together as a family in some new domain, new space, new challenges.
Don't you think it would be a challenge for them to go back to living a normal life?
Yeah.
Amongst, you know, everybody else in the Federation, as opposed to being stuck on this small ship with all these people for 7 years, and then having them all ripped away from you? That would be something really difficult to deal with.
I think it would be really overwhelming, wouldn't it? I mean, after knowing 140 people for 7 years and that your entire sphere of humanity, it would be massively overwhelming to be back on Earth with billions of people and having to deal with the politics of the Federation and deal with other, you know, other ship politics and being part of a fleet again.
Yeah.
And having to follow the rules.
And being told what to do. Yeah, being told what to do. I have a feeling that Janeway would have a hard time being told what to do when she got back. Like, no, nobody tells me what to do. The buck stops with me.
Well, remember, we do see Admiral Janeway in Nemesis. So are you guys kind of thinking that that has happened and that's canon and we have Admiral Janeway at this point? Or are we kind of turning the clock back a little bit and thinking that it's going to be Captain Janeway no matter what and that didn't happen? I'd like to see Captain Janeway stay Captain Janeway, personally.
Since there wasn't a picture of Chakotay on Admiral Janeway's desk, I don't like to think about that one.
Well, maybe there was a picture of Captain Chakotay on Admiral Janeway's desk.
Any picture of Chakotay would have been a plus.
Maybe it was at the side of like where she was sitting, so you couldn't see it because the back of it was facing the camera.
And it was their wedding picture.
Yes, yeah. That sounds totally legit. Yeah, I have a bit of a difficult time thinking about too much about what would happen after the end of the show, because I really like, well, I know it's not canon, but I really like the books. I like what plays out in the books. So that's almost my head canon in a lot of ways, even though I've read a lot of fan fiction about what happens afterwards. But the books are essentially my head canon, so I'm not sure I want to rewrite that too much.
And there's been a lot of really good fanfic.
Oh, yeah.
Like when I was trying to make notes for this podcast, I was like, well, this happened. I was like, no, that was fanfic you read. No, that was another fanfic. Ah!
Yeah.
See, I guess my idea is that one of the things I always wanted to see in Voyager, even during the show Voyager, I wanted to see Voyager turn into a generational ship. I loved when we got to see like an alternate timeline where we got to see an older Naomi Wildman or an older Icheb. You know, I wanted to see Voyager thrown out into the galaxy, into another galaxy or back into the Delta Quadrant and really focus on that generational ship idea. I want to see like Lieutenant Naomi Wildman. I want to see Lieutenant Commander Icheb, and I want to see them as part of the Voyager family and in some older version of themselves.
More babies!
I would like to see them too, but keep Harry as an ensign.
Yes!
That would be the longest running Voyager joke ever. If you know, even if they do a Voyager movie, Harry Kim is still an ensign.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's like, I just can't catch a break.
For like 27 years and he's still an ensign.
Well, that episode with Fear the Clown, when he makes Harry an old man, he's still got that one little pip on his collar.
Yes.
It cracks me up every time.
half-jokingly, Ensign Harry Kim getting a promotion to lieutenant junior grade could be the climax of the movie.
That is true. So we have to have... Okay, so that's our first plot point then. Harry has to do something that gets him promoted to lieutenant junior grade.
See, I guess this is the thing I really struggle with. So I'm terrible at plot points. Like, I have this great idea of Voyager, for me, getting thrown somewhere in the, you know, else in the universe, in another galaxy, back in the Delta Quadrant, and then something has to happen in the middle of the movie, right? They have to encounter a villain or some challenge, or they have to encounter an obstacle. They need to work together. What is the obstacle they have to overcome in the movie?
Okay. Well, shall I tell you my sort of vague idea then?
Absolutely.
So... I really like the idea of having, when I was thinking about doing a movie, I thought, well, what could we do that was different that we didn't get in the show? Because if you're doing a mid-series movie, you want to do something that's different. So I thought, well, what would be really nice is if we had both Kes and Seven of Nine in the movie. So I had this mad idea that when Kes goes to throw them forward past Borg space when she's leaving, something happens, like her power or gets drained or something, and she effectively drops them in the middle of Borg space.
Oh,
so wow. So they're there, and she's still there, and she's kind of drained, like, you know, a battery, and Tuvok's got to kind of help revive her and all this kind of thing. So she's still around, and she hasn't kind of floated off into wherever she ends up going. I thought that was quite a cool idea, and then I thought, well, then we're probably going to get this whole everybody's like, oh no, not more Borg, not more Borg.
Well, Voyager's known for sort of declawing the Borg, right, and making them an enemy that is defeatable and not so scary as they were in the Next Generation. So, are you thinking that your idea of, I mean, this makes sense, right? If you're right inside the middle of Voyager's run, that puts you smack in the middle of the Borg time period, yeah, in Voyager. So, you want to kind of up the ante and do a real, you know, even bigger than First Contact, a big Borg story.
Well, this is the thing. So, it could be that. Or it could not be a Borg story at all, in a shocking twist, where we land right in the middle of Borg territory, and we get there,
psych, that's not
and they're
really
like,
happened. It's not a Borg story.
Ah, we're in the middle of Borg territory, and then suddenly they start realizing there are no Borg there, and they're like, why are there no Borg here? This is really weird. What's going on? And then they find this lovely, like, lush planet of people that haven't been assimilated. In the middle of Borg territory, and they're like, what's going on?
Who are these people?
What's going on here?
Species 8473?
Yeah, exactly. Species 8473. Yep. and then it turns out that they can't be assimilated for whatever reason.
Maybe they just don't have any technology that the Borg wants.
And then there's interesting plot with them that I haven't worked out yet. But the thing that I really did like the idea of was that whatever they end up doing in the movie as the whole plot point is something that they need to do in order to save the Alpha Quadrant. So they stop something that would have affected something going on the Alpha Quadrant, and the people in the Alpha Quadrant don't know that it's them that's done it, and they don't know that what they've done has saved the Alpha Quadrant. So it's but we get like bits of either side in the movie.
You're not making Janeway into a Borg queen, are you?
No.
Okay, good. I didn't like that the first time.
I guess one of the things that I've really grown tired of in Star Trek movies, frankly, is yet another situation where the Alpha Quadrant or Earth is in danger because
in
of some situation or some bad guy. Yeah, it's just another, let's prevent the crisis. Let's stop the bad guy. Let's stop the super weapon. Let's stop the whatever.
Let's stop the giant sausage in space from vaporizing the oceans.
What I love about Voyager was the exploration. I love the fact that they're in an unknown part of the galaxy with new alien races and new situations. They're far from home. I want them to explore something new. I don't feel like a Star Trek movie needs a villain and a bad guy, or Earth to be in danger, or the Alpha Quadrant to be in danger to have a compelling story.
No, I just kind of liked the idea that it would then somehow tie in, because I think the problem you get sometimes with Voyager is the fact that we don't really tie it in as much to the rest of the series because they are off on their own and we don't get them as part of the main continuity. So I just liked the idea of if we were doing a movie, especially at that point, because if it's mid-series, that would be like just at the end of DS9's run, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So we could always tie it up with something that was going on with the end of the Dominion War or something like that.
You mean you don't want to focus on the two Ferengi that were stuck in the Delta Quadrant?
Ferengi.
You know how I feel about Ferengi.
Ugh. Why did they have to show up twice in Voyager? Twice, why?
That was two times too many.
It was. And Neelix as a Ferengi was just beyond annoying.
Yeah. Although I like the fact that there was a tie-in, I just wished it hadn't have been that. Because yeah. It was nice that there was a little next-gen tie-in there, but I wish it had been something else.
I guess what I'm craving in a Star Trek movie, Voyager or otherwise, and I'd love to see a Voyager version of this, I want to see them explore a genuinely strange new world. In recent Star Trek movies, we've only seen snippets of strange new worlds. Like at the beginning of Star Trek Into Darkness, we saw the Nibiru, you know, those people with the black and white faces and the red trees all around. And that was really fascinating, but it was only like a 5-minute scene. I really want to see an entire movie that takes place on a genuinely strange new world where they have to explore stuff and encounter things they haven't encountered before, and they have to solve a problem and they have to science some stuff, and I want to see that version of a Star Trek movie.
That was Star Trek Beyond.
With Voyager.
They did that in Beyond. Because they were on that planet, they had to figure things out, they had to science things. So
but it wasn't very mysterious. It was just like different kinds of people with, you know, some mysterious device that didn't really make sense. You know,
it was something kind of mysterious. It had mysterious Idris Elba. Well, okay then. So my planet in the middle of Borg space could be your interesting planet then.
But I guess in Beyond, it was still just a, you know, another bad guy trying to do bad stuff to, if not Earth, then this, you know, the space station Yorktown. You know, it doesn't have to be so much of a bad guy versus the good guys kind of movie. It could just be, let's explore some mysterious stuff and have to get out of it okay at the end of the day. I don't know.
So, we have a super strange planet in the middle of Borg space that hasn't been assimilated for some odd reason.
Where Janeway's going to be put on trial for temporal crimes.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not sure we're writing a coherent
I don't know
movie
whether
here,
our movie's coherent at this point.
No, that's okay. What's interesting, I think, is we're all Voyager fans, but we have three very different views about what a good Voyager movie would be, and I find that really interesting.
Right, okay. I'm going to make this coherent now. So they go back to the 29th century for Janeway's trial, but on the way there, something weird happens, and they end up at a strange new world somewhere. And then I just have to, for mine, I just then have to make somehow Kes show up, but we'll work that out later.
And rather than getting stuck in the Delta Quadrant or stuck in another galaxy, they end up stuck in the 29th century.
Yeah, okay. If they're time traveling to the 29th century, how could they then end up somewhere that they didn't intend to be?
They put in the coordinates incorrectly.
With a temporal slipstream drag.
So something's gone wrong and they've ended up in the wrong place. In the 29th century, somewhere that we don't even know where they are. So they show up at this weird planet and we don't even know where it is or when it is. There you go. Now what happens?
Then some stuff happens.
And then some stuff happens. It needs to be something that couldn't have happened in the show as a double episode, because otherwise people will accuse it of being insurrection.
Mm.
Which is a movie that I love, but I do agree that it could
some
have
good
been a
stuff
episode.
Happened in Insurrection, and some bad stuff happened.
Well, let's brainstorm a little bit. Like, what are some things that just plain could not have happened inside Voyager, the TV show?
Do you really want my answer? I think you know my answer. I think everybody knows my answer. Say it with me. Janeway, Chakotay, hook up.
Well, I guess that's another fundamental question I had. As I was making my notes for today, one of my questions is, do we show character development and relationships that we wouldn't have shown in Voyager? Do we get riskier with the characters in that way than they would do in Voyager the show?
Well, I mean, in the Next Gen movies, they finally go there with Riker and Troy after dancing around it for 7 years. So yeah, why not?
Yay!
In fact, they just start Insurrection with, okay, so...
Well, at that point, they'd been dancing around it for about 15 years, I guess.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
I guess it depends whose movie we're in, right? So, okay, if we're in the middle of Voyager's run, then we're not going to see Janeway and Chakotay together, right? So that's not happening in your movie. But Suzanne, it's definitely happening in your movie. For me, I'm kind of in the middle because, you know, I want to focus more on the exploration aspect of Voyager and this idea that Voyager is a family and they're stuck and they're, you know, in some new situation. And I really like that aspect of Voyager. So for me, I wasn't too keen on introducing new relationships into the mix in my movie. But
We could have it, we could put it in at the end. There's your lovely compromise.
But not something like, you know, just slapped together like Chakotay 7 was. It has to have, you know, it has to flow and yeah.
Yeah.
So Kay, you're saying that at the end of this hypothetical three-pronged movie we're coming up with, Lieutenant Junior Grade Harry Kim is the best man at someone's wedding.
Yeah. I like the side of that.
Okay.
Well, I like this idea that we've gone to the 29th century and we've got lost trying to get there.
I think that's an interesting idea.
I like that. I think so, and it's a good compromise between our disparate and wide-ranging ideas.
I guess that's part of my concept, that being lost somewhere is part of the Voyager identity. It's hard to imagine Voyager just being a run-of-the-mill starship again.
Yeah.
Voyager has to be a special ship in its own area and with its own domain. That seems so crucial to the Voyager identity. It doesn't feel like a Voyager movie at that point if something like that isn't part of it.
Yeah, and I can see the first scene after they've kind of got lost and they're like, uh-oh, where are we? And maybe we have Captain Braxton or whoever it is that, you know, it's not Captain Braxton, obviously, but whoever it is from the Time Police. And they're sort of like, oh no, we've got lost. Arg, arg, help, what's happened? And Janeway just kind of steps up there like superhero pose. It is fine. I have experience of this.
We're going to be one crew, a time cop crew and a Starfleet
and then
crew.
She adds the time cops to the crew.
Why would they bring Voyager into the future? Because they just want Janeway. She's the one that made, you know, that did the crimes.
Well, yes. Now, that's the difficult question, isn't it?
Well, there's temporal accidents. Like, we know that Braxton got stuck in the 20th century because of a temporal accident. There could be some sort of time cop temporal accident that results in Voyager getting permanently stuck in the 29th
okay,
century.
Okay, so now I'm thinking time cop, you know, with Jean-Claude Van Damme. Is Chakotay going to do the split? That Jean-Claude does in that movie, because I would like to see that.
Well, that's definitely in your movie, yeah.
That would be awesome.
This is all one movie. We've got to make it all make sense together.
I'm sorry, I got like lost in Time Cop now.
Okay.
Well, as I go down the list of things that are crucial to Voyager, one thing is, of course, being lost somewhere. That seems to be part of the Voyager identity. And this idea of combining two crews together is part of the Voyager identity. And we've left the Starfleet Maquis tension behind years ago at this point.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So if we want to keep that part of the Voyager identity, we have to mix the combined Starfleet Maquis crew, what we know as the Voyager
with the
family,
time cop crew.
With the time cops. Yeah. Exactly.
I like this. So, mad idea. They've been sucked back to the Delta Quadrant. And the reason is because something happened whilst they were in the Delta Quadrant the first time, so that they all got kind of some weird displacement or some kind of exciting science that means that they get attached to something that happened over there. So when they try and do the going to the 29th century, everybody who was there at the time gets sucked back over there. Maybe it was something to do with relativity or something, because that would make sense with the time cop people. And you could have the other dude who was from relativity be the now the captain instead of Braxton.
You mean the guy with a really clipped sounding voice? Stardate, blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
That guy, right?
Yeah. So something happened during relativity that kind of tied them to somewhere in the Delta Quadrant, wherever it was they were at the time, and they get sucked back there somehow. This is the point where somebody on Trek FM is reviewing my movie going, well, the science was really weird. It made no sense.
Neil deGrasse Tyson is going to write you and be like, okay, this isn't working.
This does not make sense. This is not science.
So now, given what we've said so far, I'm kind of picturing this scene that's similar to that scene in Learning Curve where Chakotay says, you know, you want to do it the Maquis way, and he punches the guy. You know the scene I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm picturing this guy from the Time Ship Relativity with the same kind of scene where he's like, you want to do it the time cop way, and he punches someone across the face.
So now that guy really needs to be Jean-Claude Van Damme, because I... That's the only way it's going to work.
Right, so it's not that guy, it's another guy who's now in charge of the relativity, and he's played by Jean-Claude Van Damme. Okay.
Actually, in yes. my hometown in Vacaville, there's this guy named Dennis Alexio who was a kickboxing champion. I want to kind of like cast him as an extra. So we have Jean-Claude Van Damme and the Time Cop guy and this guy from my hometown, Dennis Alexio, and they're part of the new Voyager crew.
Okay. Yeah.
That's for the locals. There you go.
So we're back in the Delta Quadrant. Everybody's there who was there the first time.
All the original Voyager people, the crew of the Relativity.
Yeah, and in honor of that video that's been going around lately, they're there due to some type of temporal anomaly.
No. Not the some type of something.
Some kind of temporal anomaly.
Some kind of temporal anomaly, yes. That's about as sciencey as my science is going to get, so. There's a thing, isn't there? Like, you know, the real theory of teleportation where if you separate the two bits of whatever it is, atoms or particles or something, if you separate them and then they want to be together, they kind of go something like that. There you go. That was science. Kind of like science. What,
like in Terminator 2 with the liquid sucking back in. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So my idea was that in a movie, you need to set up a sequel, right? So if we're going to do one Voyager movie, we want to do at least three Voyager movies. So we need to set up the sequel. And my idea was that just like at the very beginning of Voyager and Caretaker, we don't find out that the Voyager crew is stuck in the Delta Quadrant until the very end, that the final scene of the movie should be realizing that they're stuck in the 29th century. That should be, we should save that for the very end, that they end up in the 29th century, but at the end they're stuck. And now the sequel is that they have to get
back. But this time, at the end, When whoever it is does the thing that makes them be stuck, when they realize that they have to like save the thing or let the thing die and get home, Janeway's like, oh, no, I've got to do this all over again. Oh my gosh, it like mentally destroyed me the first time. And then Chakotay does it so that she doesn't have to.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And so we get to listen to 7 years of Chakotay belly aching on the way home.
No,
about, you know, the guilty feels for the decision.
No, because
he made.
Every time he feels guilty, he will just go and meditate and talk to his spirit.
Exactly,
about
talk
that.
To a spirit animal.
Yeah, or his granddad, or whoever it is he's talking to.
And I feel like it wouldn't be a Voyager movie without some of those things. Like we do need to see a little bit of some kind of Chakotay with his spirit guide. We need to see something about Ensign Harry Kim getting a promotion. We need to see these Voyager-isms inside the movie. Otherwise, again, it's just a Star Trek movie if we don't do some of the Voyager-isms in the movie.
Okay, so
right?
What do we get for Tom to do? Tom's got to do something.
They have like the baby at this point, don't they? They've got baby. How we're not too long after they got back, are we? How long after they got back are we? Like a month or?
Like, yeah. Just long enough for everybody to have their reunions and then start missing everybody.
So they have tiny baby. Look, we're getting towards your generational ship, Zachary. There you go. Look, we're tying it all together. Yeah, this is how writer's rooms work.
So Tom dealing with fatherhood.
Yeah. Tom and B'Elanna dealing with parenthood. But we need an actual plot for this movie, which is the challenging part.
We have too many plots is the problem.
No, I feel like we're like circling in on something coherent here. So the beginning of the movie, we get something like Voyager's homecoming. A little bit of time passes. They're back on the ship. They get sucked into the 29th century. They get merged together with the crew of the timeship Relativity. And then at the end, they end up there. It turns out they're stuck in the 29th century and it becomes a generational ship. They have to figure out how to get home from the 29th century. Whatever that means, they'll science the science and tech the tech. But stuff has to happen in the middle. Yeah. And that's where we're really struggling.
So do we still want them to show up and there's like an interesting planet there as per your original idea?
Yeah, I feel strongly we need to explore something new. It's not enough just to be stuck somewhere. You have to be stuck somewhere interesting. There has to be some novelty to it.
Okay, so how about they've gone there, they have made it to the 29th century, so they are now in the future, but they're back in pretty much where they were when Relativity happened, the episode.
In the Delta Quadrant.
Yeah, but they get there, and then there's this planet there that wasn't there when they were there last time.
Is that because the timeline has changed, or is that?
I don't know. That's just my idea. I think it would be cooler if it wasn't because. So that's what they're going to think to start with, but actually, it's something weird has happened. This is not a normal planet. Something weird's happened to make it be there.
Weirder than like the Waterworld planet.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously science has made it be that. This script is going to go, and then blah, 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 and then science. And then this happens. And then in order for that to happen, there shall be science.
Well, this is an interesting... So what kind of weird planets could we come up with? So, you know, we've seen the Waterworld planet. I could imagine like a Borgified planet. That'd be a weird planet. What other kinds of weird planets could there be that aren't just a run-of-the-mill planet? What's an outside-the-box idea for a new planet? Not just with red trees, right? That's not weird enough.
Well, it could be like an artificially constructed planet. So... I don't mean like in like a terraforming world, but like, well,
you mean like Unicron from Transformers?
Sort of like a giant space station, but it's actually been made into an actual planet. So it's technological in the sense that it's made out of like
that's no
that
moon
stuff. But it's actually but it actually is a planet, and it's got stuff growing on the outside of it, and it's orbiting a sun of some description, presumably for it to sustain life.
And I feel like the crew of the Relativity has some special knowledge about this planet. Like when they see it, they should go, oh no, not this.
Yeah.
But then not reveal the information they know.
Because of the temporal prime directive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So is this thing there because of something that was caused by what happened in Relativity? So is it like, oh, well, we thought we'd fixed the timeline, but actually we forgot a little bit that's now made this thing happen.
This terrible thing that they're not going to reveal because it's too terrible in the temporal prime directive. Yeah.
Are the lizard babies on the planet? Have they taken over?
It could be the lizard baby planet, actually. Because who knows where they ended up?
They've taken over the entire quadrant.
Lizard babies have taken over the entire quadrant.
They shouldn't have left them behind.
By the 29th century.
It could be the Voth, for that matter.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Right, so the origin of the Voth was that the lizard babies went back in time.
And then they evolved into
yes.
the Voth.
Yes.
So Captain Janeway is the ancestor of their entire race? Yeah. Is that what you're
Tom
saying?
Tom and Janeway are the ancestors of the entire Voth race.
Tom and Janeway become Adam and Eve of the Voth.
Yes.
I like this movie.
This is amazing.
There's new meaning to the term space seed for sure. So.
Ba-dow-bow.
And then we get a really, really awkward, another really, really awkward Tom and Janeway ready room scene.
Oh, yeah.
I can picture Tom saying something like, it looks like we're having a bit of a family reunion.
Yeah. Okay, so we've decided this is a Voth planet, have we?
I don't know if we've decided. It was just an interesting idea.
Okay. I like it.
Right, okay.
So it's a Voth planet. Yep. Yeah.
So they go down to the planet and they get there to like the main kind of administrative governmental building thing. And outside, there's like a statue of Janeway and Tom. You know, like in... Have you guys watched Farscape?
Yes.
So you know, like, the bit where they go to the planet where Rigel is a god? Because they have this statue mm-hmm. of him, and it's like the Uwe Masata and all that kind of thing. Just from, I just... And then they all start chanting at them, because that would just be hilarious.
That would be so good.
And I can picture Chakotay standing there. He sees the statue of Tom and sees the statue of Captain Janeway, and he says, I don't know why, but this makes me darn uncomfortable.
Yes.
This bugs the hell out of me, or whatever he has to say. Bothers the hell out of me.
So why have the Voth built an artificial planet? other than the answer, because science.
So what do the statues have to do with the planet, and what does that have to do with the problem that they need to solve? Like, what's the challenge?
When they see the statues, obviously it's going to take them a while to figure out why the heck there are statues of them. So that's going to be a fun little diversion. This is going to be like the insurrection, isn't it? It is going to just end up being the insurrection. That's fine. I love insurrection, but I'm guessing other people might not love it so much.
So you remember that scene in the episode Distant Origin where we're first introduced to the Voth, where they take the image of a hadrosaur and they run this genetic algorithm that projects it into the future and they kind of evolve into the Voth? I'm kind of picturing the same thing in reverse, where they at some point in the holodeck, they have to start with an image of the Voth and they kind of reverse genetic engineer the Voth off back in time and they morph into an image of Tom and Captain Janeway.
Yeah. And then they realize what's happened.
So possibly the Voth have some sort of virus that the doctor has to try and figure out how to cure. And that's why he would do the genetic...
Yeah, we haven't given the doctor anything to do
yet. No, that is true. We haven't even mentioned him yet.
Poor doctor.
So, obviously at some point, the Voth have then realized that the guy who was saying, oh, well, you know, we're descended from these dudes, he was totally right. Because now they, like, revere them as gods. They're going to be super excited when they show up.
So the Voth matriarch has had a change of heart.
Yeah.
By this point. So you're saying these aren't the 24th century Voth that have been pulled into the 29th century. These are the 29th century yes. Voth that have come yeah. to revere Captain Janeway and yes. Tom Paris as their
So they've had a few years to think about it.
The progenitors, that's what they will call them.
Star Trek Voyager, the progenitors.
Yes! That is the title of the movie.
So we need the dude with the voiceovers, right? Because Voyager came out in the 90s and that guy was still alive doing his voiceover thing. So
oh, the movie
phone
guy?
In a world where...
Yeah.
Yeah, the movie voiceover guy. In an artificially constructed world where the Voth have been descended from Captain Janeway and Tom Paris. And we don't want to give that away, I guess.
No.
In the trailer. Although Star Trek movies have a history of giving away the punchline in the trailer, so
we could ours will be that. Different.
Possibly. This is going to be everyone's new favorite Star Trek movie. Come on.
Bigger All than the one with the whales?
Going, oh man, we want to see that movie.
No, it's going to be everybody's second favorite Star Trek movie.
Okay.
Nothing can beat the one with the whales.
Nothing, no.
So, they've got some kind of... Hey, there we go.
Some kind of disease.
Yeah.
Some kind of disease.
Yeah, and then of course, because they were susceptible to the disease because of their DNA, Janeway and Tom immediately catch the disease, but nobody else.
And we now have to save Tom and Captain Janeway's lives.
And the Voth as well.
And the Voth. Yeah.
So then Neelix has to keep everyone's morale up. There, Neelix has something to do now.
Well, Neelix is gone. Neelix is stuck. He's long gone, right?
Well, no, because he's going to get sucked in by the thing as well. Because it doesn't matter where they are. My science makes sense, don't worry.
Okay, I thought I understood your science.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. Whoever was on Voyager gets sucked.
Whoever was on
Voyager.
Voyager gets sucked. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're saying it doesn't matter that Neelix no. is back in nope. the Delta Quadrant, right?
Nope.
Okay, so he gets sucked
He's
back
no
anyway.
Longer on that asteroid.
So then there's this really hilarious scene with Neelix going, what am I doing here?
It's like, oh no, we mentioned the water world before. It's like that the collector that generated the water world that sucked all the water off the yep. planet. This is like the
temporal
water world collector.
A temporal sucking device.
A vacuum.
Like what I said, only, you know, sensible. I'm still not convinced I know exactly how the events of relativity cause this.
We're not supposed to know. It's one of those unanswered questions.
Maybe we'll deal with that in the second movie.
I've got another kind of crazy idea.
Okay.
Okay, so here's my idea. It doesn't just have to be the crew of the Relativity. We definitely want the Relativity crew there. But imagine, remember that guy from the episode Non Sequitur, the alien guy who says, oh, you know, things got a little jumbled. You ended up here and Voyager ended up there and things got mixed up and we don't know what to do about yeah. it. That guy could end up somehow tied to the movie where he ends up on Voyager as well.
Okay.
And he can make the coffee for Janeway because he's got the coffee shop.
Yes! Brilliant. That's great.
He's the new Neelix. He's in the mess hall.
Yeah.
Making coffee for everyone.
Yes. So that leaves Neelix free to be in security. Poor Tuvok.
Yes, and yes. Neelix is a...
Get Neelix in the uniform.
The new head of security.
Oh, poor Tuvok.
That way Tuvok can focus just on tactical and Neelix gets to be head of security.
Ooh. So, have we had time between them getting home and this happening for Tuvok to get his weird mind thing fixed?
No. He was in the middle of it.
Ooh.
I guess I never really cared for that subplot, so I was just assuming that was over and done with.
Well, actually, we could tie this in really nicely, because obviously Kes also gets sucked back to wherever they are currently.
Mm-hmm.
And then she can help him to fix it.
I like that.
Because they had the whole closeness with mind stuff that they did, mm-hmm. so she can help him to fix his his mind, whatever it is, degenerative thing. I'm bending the rules on bringing Kes in, but it just seemed to... My idea started with, well, I want to have Kes and Seven of Nine, so... I'm gonna have them both, damn it.
Well, it's a little tricky because relativity's been seen a couple times. We've got the episodes where they get sent back to the 20th century. The first time we see Captain Braxton, we've got relativity where Seven of Nine is in focus. So you're saying anyone related to relativity in Voyager, they all get sucked back. So Kes is there, Seven of Nine is there, they're all there.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, because Kes would have been there when they did the bit where they went back in relativity. So yeah, that's fine. Right. It's my science. That makes sense. So, Janeway's ill. Tom's ill. So, B'Elanna's worried about Tom and has a baby. Chakotay's worried about Janeway. Tuvok's got mind wibble stuff going on and Kes is helping him. Doctor's trying to cure them. So, that just basically leaves Seven of Nine in charge. Well, Seven... I think we should have Seven be like... behind the reason why this happened, because she's the one that keeps getting cycled, so with she whatever went on with her in relativity could have caused this temporal wibble.
Something to do with her nanoprobes.
Nanoprobes, yes, it'll be something to do with nanoprobes. That makes sense.
And rather than three different copies, temporal copies of Seven, we're on like copy number 300 at this point.
Okay.
That's a lot of temporal psychosis right there.
It is. And that's a lot of nanoprobes.
That is a lot of nanoprobes.
Because every time she went back through another cycle, she was leaking nanoprobes into subspace. And the nanoprobes have kind of made... So the nanoprobes have created the planet.
So it is like a Borg planet, but it's a nanoprobe-created... Borg yes. planet. Like the nanoprobes went into this nebula, took all the matter from the nebula, kind of like the Genesis planet or something, but Borgified. Yep. But it's not really Borg because it's all about the nanoprobes. Yep. And the Voth are there.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yes.
How do the Borg nanoprobes relate to the Voth thing?
That's the only bit that doesn't make sense yet. But I have now worked out this is how they've all got sucked back, because it's Seven of Nine's nanoprobes, and as we know, at some point during the last four series of Voyager, every single one of them's been injected with Seven's nanoprobes at some point. So that's how they've got the temporal linky thingy.
But maybe also the nanoprobes have caused the virus in the Voth.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. Yes.
So at this point, the Voth are down with Captain Janeway and Tom Paris, but they are somewhat resentful of Seven of Nine over this nanoprobe thing.
Yes. So, nanoprobes create the planet, and then the nanoprobes are kind of reproducing madly and kind of evolving a bit like that whole thing we had with Drone. So they've kind of evolved as well over this length of time and are kind of wandering around the universe causing trouble. And then they run into the Voth, cause the Voth disease. And then the Voth go on this journey to try and find out the origin of the weird thing that's caused the disease. And then they find the planet.
The trouble with nanoprobes.
Yes. This is totally coherent. There you go. Hashtag the progenitors.
I guess it's actually kind of sad commentary in the state of Star Trek movies, I think, when this has become a fascinating idea. I would love to see this movie. I really would. It's got novelty. It's got all our Voyagerisms. They get to explore stuff. They get to solve problems. This sounds great. I want to see this movie.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Let's make this movie.
The Progenitors.
Yes. And so at the end of the movie, they solve the problem with the Voth, and they stop the nanoprobes from causing any more problems.
Okay, so they save the Voth, just like in Caretaker, they save the O'Compans. Yeah.
But in order to save them and reprogram the nanoprobe so it doesn't happen again, they have to sever the temporal Hoover link vacuum thing. So they can't get back.
Sorry. I didn't mean to laugh so hard, that just cracked me up.
So that's how they then can't get back. Because that was their link back to the Alpha Quadrant.
And Chakotay cuts the link.
Yeah.
So how do the crew of the Relativity and the Voyager crew now get integrated together? Because at the end of the movie, I feel like they need to be integrated, and Captain Janeway needs to give this really inspirational speech about being one crew and one ship, and they're going to get home to the 24th century no matter what. How do they get integrated together? Like, who becomes the, you know, what role do the Relativity crew play on the new Voyager?
Well, first of all, we'd have to destroy the Relativity as well, wouldn't we? Which again gives them no other way of trying to get back even to the 24th century, never mind back to the Alpha Quadrant. So I think they probably have to like dismantle the Relativity in order to help, or in order to fix the nanoprobes.
Or would you want to see something different like this? Would you want to see Captain Janeway and company get stuck on Relativity and have Voyager be destroyed, just like we lost the original Enterprise in Star Trek 3?
Don't you destroy my Voyager?
Oh, I don't know, though, because...
This would be weird. Captain Janeway could have to be the first officer for once. That would be really weird.
And then we could get the Voyager,
In the sequel.
It's fine. Exactly. It's fine. No, it's fine, Suzanne. At the beginning of the second movie, Chakotay can whittle a new one.
Yes! You can just start whittling away.
Yep.
I wasn't thinking this outside the box, but now I really like this idea. I mean, even in Voyager, we often wondered what would have happened if Voyager were destroyed and Janeway had to be Chakotay's first officer. Now we get to see Janeway having to be first officer to Captain Braxton.
Oh, but she would be serving under the wrong captain.
No, it's not Captain Braxton, it's Captain Van Damme.
Captain Van Damme, excuse me. And his first officer, Dennis Alexiou. Yes.
But I love this idea. So they're on Relativity, and he's still the captain.
I mean, this is a really sad moment. Imagine the moment when Voyager gets destroyed. I mean, hardcore Voyager fans like us, we'll be in tears in this
movie. I would cry.
This is a big emotional moment in the movie when Voyager's destroyed.
Yeah.
Neural gel packs and all.
Yes, that's why Voyager gets destroyed.
Cheese.
Because the neural gel packs get infected with the virus. And they don't manage to cure it in time.
But then if they're on Relativity, which is a time ship, they could use that to get back.
Well, they're on Relativity, but it gets broken, so they can't. I don't know how.
Can't they just fix it?
It's broken.
Oh, sorry, that part's broken. It won't be until Tuesday.
Well, okay, so they could go back to the 24th century, but they can't get back to the Alpha Quadrant.
No, I think we need to leave them in the 29th century.
But then wouldn't they run into
Relativity.
their 24th century sets?
Exactly, which is why they can't go back to the 24th century. Yeah. So they have to stay where they are so that they don't run into themselves.
And that's quite a cliffhanger. If we find that Voyager's been destroyed, they're aboard Relativity, they can't get back, one crew, one ship, but Janeway's no longer the captain because they're on the Relativity. That's a good cliffhanger for a sequel.
It is. Awesome. Well, we're nearly at the end then. But who else do we want to see on the Relativity?
Well, you have to have Jeffrey Combs in there. Somewhere.
Yes, Jeffrey Combs would have to be in there as some kind of interesting alien.
Mm-hmm.
Unnamed interesting alien.
He was one of the Voth.
Oh, Jeffrey Combs was the... Maybe he was like
he
the
was
Voth
the main
governor.
Voth.
Yeah. Voth president.
With Jeffrey Combs as the Voth governor.
Yeah. Okay. Cool, that works. Who else are we gonna have in there?
How about Lieutenant Barclay? I feel like we should get Barclay into the movie.
Would it be his hologram or would it be him?
No, the real Barclay.
The real Barclay.
Like the real McCoy, but the real Barclay.
Well, if you're gonna pull in the real Barclay, then you need to pull in Deanna as well.
You do.
That would be an interesting addition. So Barclay and Counselor Troy end up stuck on the Relativity.
Wow. Finally, a counselor.
Well, is this packing too much into the movie? Because there's a danger to pack too much in, right? Whenever you're writing a movie or a story, you go, well, we could do this, we could do that, we could put these people in. Is this packing too much in, or is this okay?
I don't know. I'm just wondering whether or not them being there makes sense with my science.
Yeah,
I'm fine
leave
if we
Barclay
think it
out.
Does.
They wouldn't be pulled by your temporal Hoover.
My temporal Hoover.
Makes sense, right?
Well, I want Evan Rachel Wood in there because I love her. Because she's amazing. And she would look great in a Starfleet uniform.
What about Henry
Ed Begley Jr.?
Yeah, I want that guy.
It kind of makes sense that he might be there.
He was involved with the Relativity stuff, right? So he might be pulled by your temporal Hoover. This might
be
okay with your science and science.
He could be temporally hoovered.
And then he could cause issues in the next movie.
He could cause issues in the next movie. Dun, dun, dun. Like at the end of the movie, we just reveal that he's there.
Yeah.
He's been in the Relativity. When they, at the end, when they do the whole merging the crews thing, he's in a Starfleet uniform, and then in the last bit he just turns round and you see him and you're like,
dun, like a surprise reveal.
I like that.
See, but is the general audience going to get that? So, like, we're going to get it. We're Voyager fans. Movie. We're going to get the reference.
They're gonna get that he's somebody that they should know who he is.
That they should know. And then they'll go home and Google it.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to go home and Google it.
Then they'll go home and Google it.
Okay, got it.
Who did Ed Begley Jr. play in? Voyager. We have a movie.
Okay, so Suzanne, since you're so good at this, do you want to do a recap of our whole movie now?
No. Not at all.
I can't remember all of our details. Kay, you're really good at this.
Okay. So.
You can do it.
Voyager gets home, and then a little while afterwards, Janeway gets stopped by the Time cops. Well, I'm guessing once they've kind of done all of their usual debriefing-y stuff that they've done.
Yeah, we need to get the emotional satisfaction of seeing a real homecoming. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And we think it's all happy and everybody's home and yay and brilliant. And then suddenly Captain Van Damme of the Relativity shows up and it's like, haha, you're going to be put on temporal trial for your crimes. So he whisks her off. And in the process of whisking her off, something weird happens. Some kind of temporal hoover. And they end up in the Delta Quadrant, in the 29th century, at the point in space coordinates where they were when the whole relativity thing happened. But then they realise that there's this planet there that wasn't there at the time, and they're like, what's going on? So they go down to investigate, discover that the Voth are there, and they're like, well, this is weird. There's a statue of Janeway and Tom. They do some backwards DNA engineering, and it turns out that the Voth, after all, are not evolved from hadrosaurs. They're evolved from the lizard babies that had travelled back in time. They're evolved from the lizard babies that had travelled back in time and become the progenitors of the entire race. Meanwhile, as a result of all of her numbers of copies going back in time during the relativity, a weird thing happened with Seven of Nine's nanoprobes, causing her to disturb subspace, and they mutate, and they create a planet, and then they wander off in the Delta Quadrant and infect the Voth with a nanoprobe virus. The Voth go on a quest to find out where this happened. This is how they find the planet. So, Voyager shows up. They find out about the virus. Janeway and Tom get infected, as well as obviously all the Voth. Doctor's working full time to fix it. Kes has also shown up because of the temporal hoover, and she's helping Tuvok with his mind thing that only got partially fixed while they were back in the Alpha Quadrant. Doctor manages to cure the virus. Woohoo!
Dr. Joe at this point,
Dr.
by the
Joe.
Way. Right? His name
yes.
is Dr.
Yes.
Joe.
Cures the virus. But in the process, they have to destroy the temporal hoover, which cuts off their chance of getting home. There you go. Sorry. I forgot the part where the gel packs get infected and it destroys Voyager. And then they all end up on the relativity.
You forgot the climax of the whole
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, sorry. I was trying to remember everything at once.
So at the end of the movie, Voyager is destroyed. Yep. The Voyager crew and the relativity crew are on relativity along with the guy who played Henry Starling.
Yep. As is revealed in the last frame.
Yep. We get an emotional speech from someone about one ship and one crew.
And then Chakotay starts whittling a new Voyager.
Yep.
And that leads into the sequel, Voyager,
which
has
we'll
to
worry
get
about
from
next
the 29th
time.
Century. So, in a few more episodes of To the Journey, 10 or 20 episodes from now, we have to write Progenitors 2.
Yep. Progenitors 2, The Progenitors Strike Back. Or maybe The Wrath of the Progenitors. I don't know. Depends which franchise you want to go with.
That was an amazing synopsis, Kate. And frankly, I want to see this movie. And if we don't make a movie, we should at least write the novel.
Yeah. So it's been fun talking about time-traveling lizard babies this week. But this isn't the only thing we've been talking about here on Trek FM. So here's a quick look at some other things you may have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Warp 5.
Even though we lost tons of money, we were like, oh, phew. Now we can stop and think.
Writer strikes are funny things. Sometimes you get season 7 of 24, and sometimes you get Shades of Grey.
I knew you were going to say that.
Literary Treks.
And again, that's the great thing about these novels is like, you know, it can change your perception and look at these episodes and these movies in a totally different way. And I just love, you know, it's not there to fix mistakes, but it does.
Meta Treks.
How do they know for sure that they're not the ones who are going to be thrown back and their duplicates end up making it back to Deep Space?
Hey,
how
can they know for sure? That's a very good question.
They glossed over that big time in this episode.
Yeah, I think if I'm Benjamin Sisko, I would want to make sure that's clear.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out these shows and find out what we're talking about in your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button. That helps us out greatly and makes it easier for other listeners to find the show as they search iTunes. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Stitcher, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and of course you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website, and you can grab the RSS link as well.
Another way you can help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week is to become a patron of the network on Patreon. If you visit patreon.com/trekfm, that's patreon.com/trekfm, you'll find our current goals and different milestone contribution levels, along with all the great perks we have for you. These perks include early access to content, exclusive content, producer credits, seats on our content development team, and more. We really appreciate any support you can give us, and hope you'll join the team. Again, you can find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
Well, before we go, there's some people we'd like to thank. We'd like to thank C. Brian Jones, the founder and publisher of Trek.fm. We'd like to thank our executive producers, Matthew Rushing and Kenneth Tripp, Aaron Harvey, our art director, Richard Marquez, our production manager, and Brandon Shea Mutala, our Patreon manager. And we'd like to thank our three associate producers for To the Journey, Bruce Lish, Ju Kim, and Norman Lau.
And don't forget to check out Enterprise in Space, project of the non-profit National Space Society. Visit enterpriseinspace.org to find out more and get your seat on the mission. And also check out audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for your desktop or mobile device. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm.
If you'd like to send us a question for our Ask Us Anything episode, head on over to trek.fm/contact. You will find a form there to fill out and send us a little note. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, look at the sidebar on our To the Journey show page on Trek FM or go to speakpipe.com/trekfm. You can also send us a note on Twitter at Trek FM, or if you're on Facebook, check us out at facebook.com/trekfm. While you're on Facebook, join us in the Babel Conference, that's Babel, Trek FM's Facebook discussion group, or go to our website at trek.fm and click discussion on the menu bar. We also invite you to leave a rating and review for To the Journey on iTunes. We'd love to hear your feedback and suggestions for the show. Zachary, where can folks find you on the interwebs if they would like to talk to you about temporal hoovers?
Well, you can find me all over the Trek FM network these days. You can find me co-hosting MetaTrek's Trek FM show on Star Trek and philosophy, along with my co-host Mike Morrison. You can also find me on several recent episodes of The Ready Room, Trek FM's flagship show. And if you want to talk Star Trek with me, you can find me in the Babel Conference, Trek FM's listeners-only discussion group. And if you want to find me on Twitter, my handle is just my name, at Zachary Fruhling. That's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, Fruhling, F-R-U-H-L-I-N-G. So, Kay, if people want to make a plot with you to violate the Temporal Prime Directive, where can people find you around the Trek FM network?
Well, you can find me in the Babel Conference. I'm quite often hanging out in there. And if you want to look me up on Twitter, my handle is at ChocoWeeble. Suzanne, when you're not accidentally founding an entire species, where can people find you?
Well, you'll also find me popping up in the Babel Conference or on Twitter. My handle is at KJaneway8. That's letter K, Janeway, and the number 8.
Well, Kay and Suzanne, it's been a lot of fun coming up with our idea for our Voyager movie, The Progenitors, but we better get busy writing our sequel, The Progenitors 2. We'll be back with another episode next week, but until then, this has been To the Journey.